Good morning, everyone. I see it as a great privilege to be able to open the most important book with you again this morning. The most important book because it's God's book. And God is the most important personality we could think of. And this book is given to us so that we can get to know him and come into a living relationship with him. And today, as it was announced before, we shall be looking at parts of the book of Exodus. We are in the middle of treating the Ten Commandments. And in the book of Exodus, we are also introduced into God's character. And today's passage is, as it was announced, Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother. The fifth commandment, or according to Lutheran tradition, the fourth commandment. Shall we first have a word of prayer before we look at it more carefully? We thank you, our God, that you speak to us, and we pray that you would do it again this morning through this passage. Your servants are listening. And we pray also that you open our eyes so that we see wondrous things in your law. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The one thing we learn in the book God has given us about God is that God is both holy and loving. He cares for the well-being of human society, whose core is the family. If family relationships are unhealthy, society is sick. If they are good, that is in line with God's will, society's well-being has a solid foundation. The fifth commandment is focused on a central and very symptomatic aspect of family relationships, the way children treat their parents. Children must honor their parents, that is, they are to esteem them as having value, the special value God has put on them, and to express this in the way they act towards them. We shall look at this in somewhat more details later. Before doing so, I suggest that we deal with a number of questions that easily arise when confronted with the fifth commandment and perhaps other commandments. The first question is, what exactly is the background of this commandment in the past and in the present? First, in the past, God kept his people from being judged, along with God opposing Egyptians, he did so through the blood of the Passover lamb. He freed his people from slavery and through the waters of the Red Sea destroyed the powers of the former taskmasters who were eager to drag them back into slavery. Through a covenant, a dependable arrangement offered by their sovereign Lord, Israel was now to become his people and the Lord to become their God in an unprecedented way. In Exodus 20 from Mount Sinai, God himself spoke to them with an audible, terrifying voice, presenting to them the so-called Ten Commandments, more literally, 10 words, or perhaps better, the 10 basic stipulations of the covenant, or to use another word, the 10 essentials that would mark the relationship between God and his people. Now, mind you, the God we are faced with here cannot be compared to any other entity people might have called or treated as their God. whether in the past or in our time. Not only is he uncompromisingly holy, utterly allergic to everything that is evil, that is destructive, but as the creator of the universe, he is also incomparably competent and at the same time astoundingly loving. So these 10 stipulations are very beneficial indeed. In giving them to his people, God in fact is putting his finger on areas of behavior that are of critical importance to the relationship of people with God and among themselves, who because of their contamination by sin would by nature not love God nor their neighbors as they should. From the 5th commandment onwards, especially, our incomparably competent and loving God puts his finger on critical matters of interhuman relations, this time on a critical area of family relationships, something he feels very strongly about. That was the past background. What about the present? These 10 basic covenant stipulations were given to ancient Israel in the first place, of course, but they are no less relevant to you and me as followers of the Lord Jesus today. He is our Passover lamb. His blood, that is his self-sacrifice on the cross, keeps us from eternal judgment, frees us from the slavery of our deadly self-centeredness, and destroys the powers that would want to drag us back into enslavement again. The reality expressed in the water of baptism marks the beginning of our journey through the wilderness with God's presence and the Holy Spirit guiding us to the glory land. If you would like to check for yourself, read 1 Corinthians 10 or go through the letter of the Hebrews. Question is this the way you can view your life now? You have left Egypt behind, walking through the desert, through the wilderness, to the glory land, under the guidance of the living God. If not, call on the Lord today, asking him to be your Savior and the ruler of your life. As followers of the Lord Jesus, we are under the new covenant, sealed with his blood. God's law, as it is expressed in the 10 commandments, is written on our hearts through the Holy Spirit. You could read Jeremiah 31:31, and Hebrews 8 onwards, and the passages that we usually read in connection with communion. As a result, it is our heart's desire to apply God's revealed will in thought, word, and action, treasuring God's law as the most valuable thing in the world. Do you know something of this desire in your own life? It is the desire non-Christians don't have. Only Christians have it. It is the evidence, I believe, of them being born again, as Romans 6, for instance, clearly tells us. Now, it is true, of course, that obeying God's law will never save anyone, because no human being, apart from our Savior, God's Son, who took on human flesh, has ever been nor ever will be able to keep it to the extent required by the holiness of God. None of us is able to perfectly love God and our fellow human beings, our spouse, our parents, our children, our colleagues, etc., all the time, in every conceivable situation, which you will remember is what the law is really all about. That's what the Lord Jesus says about the law. It's loving God, loving your neighbor as yourself. So it's true that the law, including the Ten Commandments, will never save anyone. But it's equally true that the Ten Commandments do express what it is that the Lord, our almighty and loving God, likes and dislikes. And that if we are his children through faith in Jesus, saved by grace alone, we will be eager to please him in loving gratitude, clinging to what he likes, and with determination pushing aside whatever he dislikes. After all, there is so much reason for you and me to express our gratitude. He gave us his Son, the Lord Jesus, who became that perfect Passover lamb, making all the difference in the world. In the last analysis, comprising every really good thing God has in store for us. He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Of course, it is also very motivating to always keep in mind that he only likes what is genuinely beneficial, and that he dislikes only what is genuinely damaging, because God's holiness is in complete harmony with his love. They never contradict each other. So it is not only right, but also to our true advantage that we take the 10 basic covenant stipulations seriously, including the 5th commandment that tells us what our Heavenly Father likes and dislikes concerning family relationships of such critical importance to human society. After these few thoughts about the background of the 5th commandment under the Old Covenant and its relevance to us as people of the New Covenant, we shall look now at further specific questions. Why should we honor our parents? What are the reasons? Many reasons could be given. I will just look at 3 of them that seem to me to be especially important. One is, parents are instruments used by God. Another one is a most compelling reason. And the third one is a pragmatic one. So, the first one, parents are instruments used by God to give us life, to care for us, to bring us up in a way that would enable us to face life wisely and responsibly and with an optimal prospect of success. Because of this, God wants you and me to honor our parents. It reflects that basic response that God expects of us as our Creator, as emphasized negatively in Romans 1:21. There we read about humanity enslaved in sin, although they knew God, they neither glorified, or ESV, honored him as God, nor gave thanks to him. The life-giving Creator rightly expects the ones who owe their lives and every other benefit to him to glorify, to honor him, to give thanks to him for who he is and for what he has done for them. in their rebellion against the Creator, unregenerated humankind sadly do not do so. And because of this, primarily, God's wrath is against them. Romans 1:18, which they can only be saved from on the basis of the sacrificial death of Jesus, the Son of God. Romans 5:9. Our parents, being God's instruments of providing us with vital benefits, we owe them honor and gratitude. The God who chose our parents as his instruments wants us to honor them. That is his will, in connection with his instructions about the church's dealings with widows. The Apostle Paul refers to this very principle. It says, "But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God." 1 Timothy 5:4. This is a very important reason, no doubt the principal one. Honoring our parents is a reflection of us honoring God. What is that second most compelling reason? I find that heartwarming. This is a wonderful reason, a very helpful one, I think, for upholding wholeheartedly the fifth commandment in our own lives. We live in a shockingly secularized societies that in so many ways call evil good and good evil, put darkness for light and light for darkness, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, something that led to a horrible judgment on ancient Israel, rebelling against or ignoring their God. Isaiah 5:20. Now, the compelling reason. The Lord Jesus, our Savior, when he lived his sinless human life here on earth, we read, not only denounced people of his day who used pious tricks to avoid keeping the fifth commandment, Matthew 15:4, he also, and that's the real point, he also kept it himself. As a child, Jesus submitted himself to Mary and Joseph and honored his mother even as he suffered on the cross by entrusting her to his beloved disciples' care. Luke 2:39 following, John 19:25 following. Isn't this the most compelling reason for every follower of Jesus? We follow him. Following means, in another language, they call it imitating Jesus. A disciple is an imitator of Jesus. So that is a wonderful point, to see that the Son of God, who had become a human being, himself submitted to his earthly parents. Now we come to the more pragmatic reason. I have the courage to mention that because it's written in the Bible itself. There's a tendency sometimes for people to just sort of accept the Christian doctrine for pragmatic reasons because they get certain advantages. But if the Lord himself gives that as a reason, we should happily accept it. It is a reason also especially emphasized by the Apostle Paul in the passage about family relationships, read to us earlier, pointing to the fact that it is the first of 10 commandments with a promise. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This is the version Exodus 20:12. If you read on in Deuteronomy, farewell speech of Moses. He quotes that fifth commandment and he expands it a little bit. And that's really what is implied in the Exodus original anyway. And if you look at the Septuagint, it already puts it into the Exodus passage. So that you may live long and that it may go well with you. Not just be in the land and live long there, but it will go well with you. So that's the pragmatic reason. Such a promise is really connected with everything that God requires of us. Just read Psalm 1. But being expressly given to those obeying this fifth commandment, it surely underlines the importance of this commandment. Those honoring their parents are guaranteed a great blessing indeed. They were to enjoy to the full what God had promised his people. This applies in many different ways. To the original covenanters at Mount Sinai, it meant that reaching the promised land, they would enjoy to the full the blessings connected with that. Of course, one aspect, no doubt, would be that family relationships would be healthy, reflecting a healthy relationship with God, and healthy families would be a solid foundation for a healthy society. How does this apply to you and me? When we as followers of the Lord Jesus take seriously the fifth commandment, we demonstrate that we really belong to him and that he, not our obedience, will guarantee that we will enjoy to the full what God has promised to us here on earth, but most especially, as a reading of the New Testament shows clearly, most especially in the future, in his eternal glory, to be enjoyed when we depart to be with him or at his second coming. An important part of this blessing is that our family relationships truly are determined by the fifth commandment as intended by our Heavenly Father. They would, through his grace, reflect something of that healthy relationship with God made possible through the new covenant in the blood of the Lord Jesus. And thus we would be light and salt to our environment that so badly needs to be pointed to the living God, the only source of life and meaning. We started off by looking at the background of the fifth commandment, past and present, and then pointed out three reasons why we should honor our parents. Honoring them is a reflection of us honoring God. The Lord, we followed it so himself. Third, great blessings are guaranteed to us if we do so ourselves. There is another question that needs to be addressed, of course, when dealing with the fifth commandment. And in some ways that leads us to the heart of practical application. I would like to draw your attention to three points about the question, what does it mean to honor our parents? The first point is the meaning of honor and the way to act it out. I alluded to some of this at the beginning. The verb for to honor used in the Old Testament original literally means to esteem somebody as having weight, in the sense of having value, especially to give that value to the persons in question, to prize them. something expressed also by the verb used in the Greek, in the New Testament original. So we are told to give our parents value, to prize them, to give them the special value God has put on them, to prize them along God's lines. And if we take that seriously, it will no doubt determine the way we act towards them. While still a child, honoring, prizing my parents would make me obey them, rather than ignore their instructions or despise them as uncool. Seems to be the worst thing, not being cool these days. And instructions of parents are often considered uncool, at least in German. I don't know whether you use that word in English as well. In German, there seems to be the important expression teenagers use. Okay. As long as they live, especially as I reach the age of majority and a time when I have to take responsibility for other things, it would make me treat them with respect. It would make me, to the best of my abilities, contribute to their well-being. It would make me help them in a practical way to cope with the difficulties of life, especially in the face of problems caused by deteriorating health or old age. It would also make me refuse to speak disrespectfully to them or about them. It would make me be determined not to take advantage of their kindness or to exploit their sense of responsibility towards me, or, as it happens too often in our individualistic age, to forget them altogether. I have a small footnote here. Question: does earthly authority have limits regarding the authorities parents have over children? And I answer with the Anglican Catechism 2014, all authority comes from God, who is the King of Kings, and expects me to love and honor and obey him rather than others if they command me to sin. Now I come to another point that was the first one, what honoring parents should mean. I come to a second point, which is very important indeed to my mind. More than honoring our parents is in view in the fifth commandment. Reading the fifth commandment in its larger biblical context, in particular in the light of today's scripture reading from Ephesians 5 and 6, we see that honoring one's parents is just part of what is in view. This one central and very symptomatic aspect of family relationship is brought into focus in the fifth commandment. The other aspects of family relationships are referred to by implication. One part is mentioned, but really all the relevant parts, the whole is meant. And probably many of you know about that figure of speech called synecdoche. I think that's synecdoche. One part is being mentioned, but the whole thing is implied in the statement. Honoring one's parents is expressly mentioned, but the whole of family relationships is actually in view. Definitely, the commandment for children to honor their parents cannot be viewed in isolation or as a one-way street. For though children are meant to honor their parents, they especially the younger ones will find it difficult or even impossible to do so when they don't see their parents behaving honorably themselves. Fathers and mothers who keep on treating each other or their children disrespectfully, never saying sorry, always insisting on their own opinion, even if they are clearly in the wrong, requiring their children to be orderly while they themselves do this very thing whenever they find it convenient, or never to tell a lie, or never to break a promise while just sticking to these rules occasionally. Or, I come to a point I hate to mention, but I have to mention it in order to be truthful. I had first been talking about this with a Christian counselor about it. Or if they, the parents, even as people involved in church activities, too many of them deplorably abuse their children sexually. Such parents shouldn't be surprised if their children don't honor them the way intended by God. In this situation, repentance and proper biblical counseling is the first step before insisting on children honoring them. I firmly believe the fifth commandment presupposes that the parents to be honored behave towards their children in a God-honoring way themselves. God's truth is beautifully balanced in this area of concern too. That is why the Apostle Paul, after telling children to obey their parents in Ephesians 6 verse 4, quickly adds, fathers, probably the parents, mothers are included as well, do not exasperate your children, or ESV, provoke your children to anger, or NGU, ihr Väter, verhaltet euch euren Kindern gegenüber so, dass sie keinen Grund haben, sich gegen euch aufzulehnen, or, and you fathers, behave towards your children in such a way that they have no reason to rebel against you. So to honor our parents, first of all, means to prize them, making us act towards them in a variety of helpful ways. God telling children to honor their parents equally wants parents to behave in an honorable way towards each other, as well as towards their children. And now the third and final point is about the key to obeying the fifth commandment offered to you and me by the Lord. Maybe you were surprised that Edward started reading Ephesians 5 from that verse 18. But that's where the key is. Faced with God's will as to behaving honorably in our family relationships, either as children or parents, many of us may be rather frustrated because God's ideals and the reality of everyday life seems to be worlds apart. And if we're children of God, that should disturb us if they're worlds apart. What is the key? For many people, it is the bottle. You hear me well? They think they can drown their frustration in alcohol or related ways of getting things away, only to discover that things get worse rather than better. I hope this is not your key. The Apostle Paul, at any rate, is God's special voice to you and me as he approaches the topic of family and other types of social relationships, says, do not get drunk on wine. Or stop getting drunk, to translate it slightly differently, because that was the common thing, to get drunk when you're sad or happy. Now Christians stop doing that, which leads to debauchery. Instead, what? Be filled, or keep on getting filled with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. Instead of the bottle, the Holy Spirit. Of course, Paul assumes, as we can read in the rest of the New Testament, that Christians have the Holy Spirit in them. But he challenges us to allow the Holy Spirit to control in a continually increasing way more and more of our lives. He then tells about the context in which this continual filling with the Holy Spirit takes place. Activities in the original grammatically connected with filling with the Spirit. These activities in some ways refer to the means provided by the Lord, as it were, to boost a continual filling with the Holy Spirit. And then other activities seem to be, or some of them at the same time, seem to be the result of a continual filling with the Holy Spirit. I quickly read them to you. That would be a sermon, a special sermon if I had to explain all of it. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Speak, sing, make music, giving thanks, submit to one another. All are connected directly in the Greek with being filled continually with the Holy Spirit. And then, if you continue to read and read it according to proper exegesis, text grammatically, they're all connected. What follows, the instructions to wives and husbands, to children, fathers, to slaves and bosses, they're all connected, these things, with being submissive to one another, as prompted by the Holy Spirit. So the key to truly obeying the fifth commandment is the continual filling with the Holy Spirit in a life that is regularly kept in harmony with the Lord Jesus, not only as individuals, but especially in fellowship with brothers and sisters, and keeping in harmony often means that we say sorry to the Lord and to those we have hurt, putting things right. There's a great promise, you know, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. So this is what I wanted to tell you about the fifth commandment. We first looked at the background. Secondly, at three very important reasons. And then thirdly, we looked at the meaning of the commandment on the three aspects. To honor parents means to prize them, making us act appropriately. And then parents too are to behave in an honorable way. And if they don't, they better repent. The key to keeping the commandment is a continual filling with the Holy Spirit. May the Lord grant to us that we take seriously the fifth commandment under the new covenant through the blood of Jesus. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for your word that is so constructive, so positive, so balanced, so helpful in every way. And I pray that you help all of us to look at our lives and to put it right if it needs to be put right. Putting it right through the means that you have given us in your word, in the Lord Jesus. I pray that especially the families represented, our fellowship here would be healthy families through your grace, and that they would be a clear and constructive signal to the society around us that in many ways has turned against you. Thank you that you hear us. In the name of Jesus. Amen.